This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Composer Mark O'Connor is writing the story of America one note at a time. He has sussed out the essence of our people and places from Appalachia to the West Coast with original music that blends Americana and symphonic traditions to become its own genre. With his latest work, O'Connor turns his attentions to the Carolina coast. At the behest of the Greensboro Symphony, Mark O'Connor has created an overture titled Queen Anne's Revenge. It is a symphonic recounting of the story of the dread pirate Blackbeard. His ship has rested for more than 3 centuries at the bottom of the Atlantic. Conductor Dmitry Sitkovetsky and the Greensboro Symphony Orchestra will premiere the piece on Thursday. The concert marks the start of the inaugural 17 Days Greensboro Arts Festival. Mark O'Connor joins me now from a studio in New York to talk about his work. Mark, good to talk with you again.
Fantastic. Thanks very much. Good to be with you.
Where did the idea of Queen Anne's Revenge start?
Well, it started with the Greensboro Symphony, Maestro Dmitry Sitkovetsky and Tom Fillion, their executive director, contacted me about this commission. In the recent years, they discovered Blackbeard's ship right off the coast of North Carolina had been lost, like as you said, for about 300 years. And it brings back to life the legend that it was marooned there all those years ago and just really hiding there in 25 feet of water under a layer of sand. So it's a very, very incredible topic to dive into artistically. They approached me with it, and I said, yes, I want to do it.
It certainly is one that has captured all of our imaginations for a very long time. And we just got finished talking about one cable mainstay, the Weather Channel. You were watching cable TV and had a bit of foreshadowing yourself, didn't you?
That's right. I mean, I had known about some of the legend of this person, who was this dreaded pirate. And I happened to be watching on one of the cable channels very late at night, the actual reaccounting of how the ship was marooned, possibly on purpose by Blackbeard, so he could steal the treasure from his own pirate colleagues and take off on a smaller boat. And that's where we have Queen Anne's Revenge, that huge ship that was once a French frigate, a slave ship, actually, 300 years ago that he occupied for some time as his main ship, and then he let it go with a bunch of his fellow pirates to take the treasure for himself.
Is it true that the very next day, that's when you heard from the Greensboro Symphony asking you about this piece?
It was. It was very ironic. I mean, I was just captivated by the story again, hearing bits and pieces of it throughout my life, like most Americans. And then all of a sudden, this happened. A big festival in North Carolina in Greensboro, the 17 Days Festival. And it was explained to me that this piece and the orchestra will kick off the arts festival here in a couple days.
So now when we hear a piece titled Queen Anne's Revenge, an overture, will we hear Blackbeard in this piece?
I believe you will. I mean, you know, musical art can be very subjective, but I've really made it one of my trademarks, I think, musically, to depict Americana in my music, in my instrumental music. I don't necessarily need, you know, lyrics or acting or costumes to make it American, and I've been able to kind of take my music in different parts of the country. Even I just did a string quartet based on the settling of the Hudson 400 years ago. I've composed a lot of music out west, including vistas and elevations just recently for the chamber orchestra in San Francisco, the New Century Chamber Orchestra. But this gives me a new turn. I mean, one of my themes is the humanity of the musical stew, I suppose, the melting pot here, and how the different cultures have come together. But this, I dive into the pirate culture, which I've singled out to be separate from any other that I've worked on. So my piece will be familiar to audiences. It sounds like my style, but this is definitely an independent piece. I mean, it stands alone with a new character.
Well, one of the things that your music is known for is this finding a sense of hopefulness within a tragic event. You've got a character who we're familiar with. He's a dramatic character to begin with. But I want to sort of give everybody a sample of the way you find this blend, sort of draw the hopefulness out of what otherwise might seem to be a dark event. I want to listen to a bit of your composition. We don't have any of the music yet because it's going to premiere in Greensboro, so we won't hear Queen Anne's Revenge. But we do have something from Trail of Tears, from Fanfare for the Volunteer. First, before I play that, maybe you can set that up for us and tell us what that piece is about.
Yes, this was back when I was living in Tennessee. I live in New York City now, but I was living in Tennessee, and this is the Bicentennial Commission. And I wanted to framework a tragic episode in Tennessee's history, along with the triumphant history that Tennessee also offers. But for balance, I wanted to go into the Trail of Tears. And with much to do with American journey, I think there's a sense of hope that we'll get through this one day. And I think that comes up again in all of our ethnicities and cultures, and even Native Americans and African Americans that were enslaved hope that it would end soon and one day.
Let's hear a little bit from this. A Trail of Tears from Fanfare for the Volunteer. There's just a little piece of Trail of Tears from Fanfare for the Volunteer, that from Mark O'Connor, who will premiere his work, Queen Anne's Revenge, this week for the Greensboro Symphony Orchestra. How will Queen Anne's Revenge resemble this piece that we just heard?
Well, there's going to be, I think the energy is going to be much different. This is going to be about really the high seas and the chase on the high seas. There's going to be a feeling of imminent duels and overwhelming doom on the seas as Blackbeard's ship is approaching another ship. And there's this story about Blackbeard putting flares in his beard as he boards his enemy ship to go into battle to be more even more imposing on his opponents. I get into a little bit of the piece where I reveal some of the pirate culture as the pirates came to shore, for instance. And
tell us about that. What do you mean by pirate culture?
Well, usually in the American music journey that I keep going towards, like for instance, like my Appalachian Waltz with Yo-Yo Ma, I've got equal parts European American, African American, and Native American influences that come into the fiddling culture, which goes back 400 years here. And then that language, that musical language, informs my compositions. With the pirate culture, I wanted to develop a slightly different language. They also loved fiddling, the pirates. So I came up with a kind of up-tempo tune that has a little mysterious modality to it, and it represents a little something that's more universal. I figured that the ethnicities on these ships of Blackbeards came from all over the world, really, you know, Europeans, Africans, Latinos. And so it was not I don't feel like it was appropriate for me to tap too much into the English, old English musical literature for inspiration on this. It was very much of an American and Caribbean kind of journey that these pirates were on. And but at the same time, I wanted to find something sympathetic about this really horrible guy, because when you're doing musical art, especially, you know, you need to find something that the audience can relate to, that they can like this music. It can't be just scary music, as if it were like a movie soundtrack with, you know, with someone, a bad guy chasing someone else. And so I noticed that Blackbeard, he made a habit of attacking slave ships, which I think is kind of interesting. He wasn't really interested in the slave trade at all. And he would often let many of them go. He just was going for the gold. So that there's something kind of redeeming there that I felt like I wanted to write into the plot of the music. And another thing that was interesting is him and all his, you know, hundreds of pirates came to the shores of Carolina, in particular Charleston, one time. And they didn't shoot up the town or anything. They just kind of wanted to have a good time for a week and partied and danced. And so I thought, well, these criminals have a different side to them. And they also liked music. So I wanted to make sure that the strings of the orchestra represented that fiddling that they were so accustomed to hearing back then.
And there's also the ambiguity of the whole question of who's the pirate and who's not. I mean, for goodness sakes, the English financed their whole colonial expedition on Sir Francis Drake's theft of Dutch gold on the way back to the Netherlands. And so, yeah. And by the way, those governors who were imposing the law on Blackbeard stole the land from the Indians. So it's a little hard to know who's the pirate and who's not. And I think some of that was that any of the ambiguity. Not only there's got to be a little good in the worst of pirates, but the whole question of who's the cop and who's the robber in a question of colonial slave trade enshrined in law becomes a bit ambiguous.
Yeah, I mean, calling Blackbeard a Robin Hood type figure was going too far. But certainly the people that he chased down could protect themselves. They were usually either slave ship captains or even warships from the British Army. And he was equipped, they were equipped to go to battle, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was like, who's the bad guy here, ultimately? But I think in some way, I think that Blackbeard probably wanted to settle in Carolina if he would have lived. And so that's another kind of interesting thing that I try to weave into the music.
Eventually, Mark, everybody wants to move here. And it actually began with Blackbeard. Few people know that. So you talked about the fiddle, and the fact is you're a violinist. You've played and brought that sound in many, many different ways in your different compositions to Americans. But, you know, you're also writing for brass as well. I want to play a little bit from your composition, the brass fanfare from your composition, American Symphony. Let's listen. There's a bit of the brass fanfare from Mark O'Connor's composition, American Symphony. Mark O'Connor's Queen Anne's Revenge will premiere with Greensboro Symphony this week in Greensboro. Mark, is brass going to play any part in this overture?
It is. There's going to be the kind of collision at the high seas where the pirates approach the enemy ship and take it over. And there's going to be a feeling of, you know, death at sea in this kind of huge, huge brass cord and like stunning cannon fire, exampled by the snare drums, field drums, and bass drum, followed by a very quiet feeling after the storm, so to speak, with the single notes of the Glockenspiel. Signaling what it's like after a duel at sea. So there's going to be a lot of energy, a lot of overwhelming doom by the brass and the percussion, then followed by the pirate culture represented in the themes of the violins and fiddles of the orchestra.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. You've been writing these pieces now. As you said, you've been out west. You've been in Tennessee. You've certainly covered the Appalachian scene from many different points of view, now the Carolina coast. Are you, through all of this artistic rendering of the American story, does it change and reframe your understanding of this journey that we've been on as a nation?
Well, it certainly has caused me to research even more. I'm more informed about, what actually happened with music here in American life, perhaps as much as anybody now. I did a manifesto where I did a year's worth of research on just American classical music and the history of it here, what happened, why it didn't work out, why some of it did work out. And I encourage people to look that up on my website and read that. But it's a several interesting twists and turns to do with our music here, because it was so complicated with people coming here from all over the world bringing their own musical culture. And the fact that this kind of intertwined and became Americana is something that really is a lifelong inspiration. There's so much to it. When I first started writing American-styled classical music, for instance, about 20, 25 years ago, it was a little bit more homogenized. It was a little more straightforward. Like, well, this is my classical influence, and this is my jazz, or this is my folk influence, and I'm going to put it together. Now, I'm able to really dissect things a lot more and actually go into specific cultures. For instance, I have a new string quartet that taps into the bluegrass style of rhythm, and I end up doing a lot of these things now where I can get into the specific language of different aspects of Americana.
Mark, it's so great a pleasure to talk with you and listen to your music. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Mark talked about his website. It's Mark O'Connor, OCONNOR.com. You can find more about his work there. And the Greensboro Symphony Orchestra with Dmitry Sitkovetsky will present the world premiere of Mark's overture, Queen Anne's Revenge, on Thursday. The concert kicks off the 17 Days Arts Festival in Greensboro. And for more information on that, you can go to 17daysgreensboro.org.